When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network. And we want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that we can reach more people. Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Julie, and we are so excited to dish and spill the tea with you today.
Today's episode is called Second Takes. We rewatched a movie from our youth, teenage years, and a lot has changed in the world in the past 20 years. And as women in our 30s, we wanted to take a look back with a fresh view to see how we feel watching these movies now. But first, it's time for the dish. So Julie, what are you currently just like fangirling over right now?
Most recently, I was able to attend a virtual convention on marketing. The convention was called LaterCon. For those of you who don't know what later.com is, it's a social media scheduling platform that helps you organize all your social media content from start to finish. They partnered with all the platforms or all the major platforms, and they had an amazing lineup of speakers. It was so informative. If you notice a facelift on our current social media, there's a reason. I learned some things this week and it was a lot of fun too. If you're into marketing at all, later.com is the place to do it.
Well, if you have to schedule a lot of content on a regular basis, or you're an influencer, or like us, we're a small business, and this is what you use for ours, right?
It is.
You know, it's like convenient to be able to schedule things out and make sure everything flows and not have to think about it every day and kind of plan ahead and do it later.
Exactly. What I think I love the most about LaterCon, all of their speakers were very relatable and humanized how social media is just this giant beast as far as staying on top of trends and whatnot. So I really loved how they made everything very attainable and very like just simplified the whole process in general. On top of that, it was free.
That's awesome.
All it cost me was a day at work, which I was very gracious that my boss let me do. But it was a lot of fun. I loved it.
So what do you think was like biggest takeaway from LaterCon?
Probably how to repurpose content, whether it be on TikTok and or Instagram Reels. It was a healthy eye-opener. And then there were certain hashtag strategies that just like never crossed my mind either.
Wow.
But it was very informative. It was just solid.
That's great. And I think that probably when you learn how to do something a little bit better or like a different way, it kind of takes the pressure off, especially being able to reuse content because we're making so much content constantly for our business, you know, podcast episodes, you know, sound bites or, you know, static posts, and to constantly be thinking up stuff and then creating episodes, it can be a lot. So yeah. And you've been like repurposing stuff and it's looking really good.
Thanks, friend. What are you currently fangirling over right now?
Okay. Well, it's October. Finally, we're recording this on Mean Girls Day, October 3rd. I love to bake and my kids love to eat things and Lena loves to bake. And since it's October, and the height of pumpkin season, I am fangirling over baking all things pumpkin. You know, I do make things from scratch, but sometimes I just like to fancy up like a box mix. Trader Joe's has a pumpkin bread mix. And so I follow the instructions on the pumpkin bread, but then I add some of their maple butter that's from Trader Joe's and some of their pumpkin butter that is from Trader Joe's into the mix, as well as some pecans. And then I bake it at the regular time. Something about adding these extras to the mix just makes the bread turn out so delicious. It tastes more homemade because box mixes can tend to be kind of dry. It's just a way to kind of like zhuzh it up and make it fancy and people totally think you make things from scratch. And but you're not, you're just like adding stuff. And I kind of play around with things just to see how it'll taste. But that maple butter that is from Trader Joe's and the pumpkin butter, you just do like a couple tablespoons of each, throw it in there, mix it up, and holy moly, it is so good. It's like Lena and I were eating it while watching the Great British Baking Show and Harry Potter. It's like such a good fandom food. And
it's the season.
It is the season of pumpkins. And I will put those instructions in the show notes for those of you bakers who like to have fun baking hacks. So here's the part of the show where we spill the tea. So we are talking about two different movies today that we watched for the second time in our 30s that we watched when we were teenagers, and we're calling it Second Takes. And I am talking about Bridget Jones's Diary. So Bridget Jones's Diary stars Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth, and Hugh Grant, and it's based on the novel by Helen Fielding that was published in 1996 and is loosely based off of Pride and Prejudice. And in 2019, the BBC included it on its list of the 100 most inspiring novels. Now, I have to admit, when I watched this the first time, I was 17 or 18 years old, had no idea it was a book, just thought it was a movie, had no idea. But now I kind of want to read it because one of the 100 most inspiring novels, that's pretty interesting to me. It's just interesting kind of thinking back over these movies and like the year that it came out was 2001, which was 20 freaking years ago, which is making me feel super old because I think I was like, I don't know if I watched it when it first came out. I might have. So I would have been 17. But the thing that just struck me about this movie, the first one, was just the sexism and the misogyny in this movie, not only from Hugh Grant's character, Daniel, but just the entire movie was filmed. I was like, could her skirts be any tighter? Could they be any shorter? And mind you, like she's, you know, the character, Bridget Jones, she's choosing these outfits to kind of get her boss's attention or whatever and kind of build her own confidence. But I'm just like, what, like just what she would wear into the office. It was just so cringeworthy to me, which didn't cross my mind at all as a teenager. Didn't cross my mind. Her insecurities were really hard to watch and how she would assign her self-worth to whatever relationship that she was in. She was not self-assured as a woman at all. And it's just crazy, like being like, I'm a 37-year-old woman. I like who I am. I'm confident in myself. And to see this woman who, I guess she's 32 in the movie, she just has like zero self-confidence. And it's all depending on like, if a man is going to love her. And I'm just like, what? I need to like give her a motivational speech. You know, and she's reading all of these books and she's trying to break these bad habits, lose weight, stop smoking, take better care of yourself. But it's all in hopes to like get a man kind of, and it's just cringy. And I wanted to just like yell through the TV, take care of yourself because you deserve it. You know, she was really just having this identity crisis, wishing to be a person she wasn't and constantly down on herself for not meeting the expectations that she was putting on herself. And also her mom was like very pushy about, oh, you should be married by now, or you should date this person, or you should do this. And then she really just like gave herself no grace and would kind of go on to this downward spiral instead and like drink and overeat and listen to bad advice. And I'm like, she is a hot mess. It was just crazy. I'm like, you know, my first viewing of this movie, I'm like, oh, this is just a funny comedy. You know, because you're kind of seeing these as a 17-year-old, these ideas are being presented to you for the first time. I'm like, oh, that must be what the workplace is like for a woman. I'm like, oh, is this what dating is like in your 30s? Or just expect guys to be a douchebag if they're your boss, kind of these things like, Right. Oh, that's what that is like. And I did experience that in real life, you know, for a while back in the day, you know, until like the Me Too movement happened. And, you know, 10 years ago, it was still brutal.
Right.
But it was interesting how she was kind of just felt unable to start her life until she met Mr. Right. But she kept just the lack of self-awareness to realize you need to fall in love with taking care of yourself before you can be in a healthy relationship. You know, we don't see her go into therapy, but that's just the age that we're in now. It's like self-care. We didn't put any sort of value on self-care 20 years ago.
Very true.
Now it is more like mental health, self-care. We realize how important it is. It's like back then it's like, oh, well, just quit smoking and lose weight and you'll get a man. And it's kind of like for a different reason. It's not so that you feel like a healthy person inside and out. And I'm all about like whole body health. If one of those things is out of whack, whether your physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health, like you're going to be out of whack, and they all like work together. And it just seemed like her mental health was not really thought about or a factor. I mean, that doesn't really make for a funny comedy, but I think just, you know, my take on rewatching it, I'm very obviously like, you have no self-awareness. Why would you self-sabotage like that? Drink more water. I'm like saying all these things to her. I'm like, you're in your 30s, like take care of yourself. So, you know, and so then I kind of had to watch the second movie and I'm like, she's still doing the same thing. She's self-sabotaging. She's insecure. She's gaining weight, but she hasn't dealt with any of her issues of being so self-conscious of who she is and not really building her self-esteem. And she falls for the douchey guy again, mm-hmm. after sabotaging her relationship, even though at the end of the second movie, she ends up with Mark Darcy, the guy that she loves, love of her life. He loves her. He's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, she's going to screw it up again because she hasn't dealt with any of these issues. So that second movie that came out in 2004. So that's 3 years after the first movie. I'm like, okay, still 17 years ago. And then the third one came out in 2016. And I'm really glad that that one came out. I kind of feel like it helped redeem the series and show growth.
It did. It really did.
Because I mean, there's just the misogyny in the first two is just mm-hmm. like, who do I need to slap? It's definitely a man. Where is he? Let me slap him. But then I found it interesting that Jack's character, the other guy, so there's Mark and Jack. These are the two love interests. Jack is like polar opposite to the Daniel character who we are, you know, starts with at his funeral. We believe Daniel to be dead.
Right.
And he's like so nice and so great and so affirming and goes to Lamaze and does all these things. I mean, the only thing that he does do is lie to her about, you know, telling Mark that it's for sure not his kid.
Right.
But he's like, but it's just because I wanted you to myself. And it's like, you still can't hate him because he's such a great guy. And then he ends up being the godfather of the baby who turns out to be Mark's. Yeah. But at the end of the movie, I love that she's come into her own, you know, even though it's like really focused on like her dating relationships, still she's like taking care of herself. She's still Bridget Jones. She's still a little bit scatterbrained where she like locks herself out of her house the night she gives birth. And it's still funny, but didn't miss the misogyny, didn't miss the sexism, didn't miss all of that, you know. And she's, I liked that, like, yeah, so she had sex with two men close together and they could both be the father of her child. And nobody like shamed her for that.
Agreed.
And it was shown when her mom was running for like city council or whatever it was for their town. She told her mom, like, this is a really archaic way of thinking. You got to switch this around. And then she switched around her campaign of like, you know, we love single mothers and, you know, immigrants and all this stuff. And she's like, look at all the gays that are here now. And Bridget's like, great, you know, but I like how they kind of showed growth.
They did.
Or else I think that that series would be pretty cringy.
I agree. I had a hard time watching the first Bridget Jones for that reason.
Yes.
I did not get when it came out though. I was I was like, oh, this is not my cup of tea. Okay. This is hard to watch. I'm good. I just remember watching the third Bridget Jones. You never would have thought you would have seen her or would have seen her at an EDM festival.
So funny. Right? I loved it. And then when they see like Ed Sheeran, she's like, it's Starbucks guy. He's like on stage performing. So good. I mean, and I understand, I can relate to her there in 6 years. Like I'll be 43. She's mm-hmm. 43 in that movie. If I had experienced a bad breakup at a stage in my life, which is like, you know, close to how old I am now, I probably would have gone into self-care mode as well and just focused on work and like not dated anybody because that's where it kind of finds her. And I could relate to that. I'm like, that seems realistic to me. But at the same time, if you're a woman that wants children and doesn't have any at 43, that would probably be really hard. You know, I think for me, I always like the urge to have kids was always really strong. And I think I would probably feel like a real emptiness there. And now I'm realizing at 43, I will have a 23-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 14-year-old. And I'm like, whoa, wow. So I don't know. It seems crazy to me to start over at 43. or to have a baby at 43. But I guess if you didn't have one, then, you know, you would have like the energy and the space and time for that.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to travel with them. They're all going to be so old. It's going to be great. Like everybody's going to get themselves dressed. They're all going to do their own thing. It's going to be wonderful. I also really loved Emma Thompson as the doctor in this movie. I'm really glad they chose a woman.
Okay.
Because she was able to be kind of like dry and sarcastic without it being like that misogyny aspect, just not being there. And she was so funny. Their conversations between Bridget and the doctor were just hilarious. Especially the one where she had to like do two appointments over and be like, this is a wonderful and exciting time, you know, to like both of the dads before they both knew.
I totally forgot she was in that. Oh, no, she's got a great dry sense of humor.
Yeah, she's so funny. So Mark Darcy.
Yes.
I was rooting for him to be the dad.
Right.
And I kind of just knew he was going to be because throughout all these movies, it's her one true love. In the second movie, she had this pregnancy scare and it would have been Mark's baby. And they even talked about having a son. I'm like, they can't just not make that a reality in this movie. It's like the catharsis that we didn't get with the second movie.
Absolutely. You know?
So I was like, they have to. And even if she didn't end up with him, I think that they would have had a better co-parenting foundation than she would have with Jack because she just met him. Also, the scene where Mark and Jack are carrying Bridget into labor and delivery, like that was funny. And she's like falling and they're both trying to carry her because she's so heavy. But it's so dumb because no pregnant woman in active labor would let two men carry her like that. I would be like, put me the F down and call 911. I'm just going to sit here. Don't touch me. I'm going to sit on the sidewalk and give birth. It just do not touch me. But it was hilarious. So to sum it up, I think by the third film, Bridget had the self-agency she needed. And because of that, she was able to be in a relationship successfully and end up getting married, which is ultimately what she wanted. So first time around, I thought, oh, this is funny and interesting. Second time around, I'm like, this is a bit sad and dated. But the third movie really redeemed the franchise.
I think so too. The third movie tied everything up with a very nice bow. So I was happy with the third one.
Yeah. Apparently Renee Zellweger is open to doing a fourth one. Cause I believe there's a fourth book and it's like Bridget Jones. And I think it has to do with like menopause.
Oh no.
So we'll see how that goes, but
okay.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
So the movie that I chose was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I just vividly remember loving this movie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. I had it on DVD.
Same. Yeah. I remember like putting it on my Christmas list and being really irritated when I didn't get it.
And you were 17 when you got it? Were you 17?
18.
18. Okay. So I would have been 21. Yeah. I think I just bought it for myself. Cause I mean, freaking Brad Pitt. He was so hot in that movie.
I just remember thinking like, if this is marriage, sign me up. I'm in it to win right. it. Like I had no second thoughts. I was just like, this movie has action, it has comedy, like an all-star cast.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. And then I rewatched it as an adult and some things just hit a little differently. The comedy was still funny, just a little bit more relatable.
Totally.
And not the assassin part. So for those of you who don't know what Mr. and Mrs. Smith is, it's about a bored married couple that is surprised to learn that they are both assassins hired by competing agencies to kill one another.
So good.
So good, right? I love the concept.
Yeah.
Like I said, the comedy was still funny, but there are a lot of moments that just were relatable as an adult that weren't relatable as a teenager that just never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Starting with the opening scene of them in marriage counseling.
Yeah.
When I'm watching this as a teenager, I was just like, oh, it's a funny opening scene about marriage counseling. Great. My adult mindset, oh, they're so open to marriage counseling. That's a great start. Look at them being so open-minded. They're here because they want to make their marriage last.
Yeah. Like, they're being proactive.
Yeah. It's being so proactive. Like, this is so forward thinking, putting every couple on the right track. Good for them. And that was, and I was like, oh yeah, that never crossed my mind as a teenager at all. There was a scene where Jane asked John, Jane being Angelina Jolie's character, asked John about these new curtains that she purchased for their living room.
Yeah.
And he made a comment, like, he made a very disconcerting comment about these curtains. Yeah, I'll say my initial reaction as an adult watching this, I was like, he doesn't even know how he just escaped death. Like, bro, walk away. If you don't like something, do not tell your wife that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself? This is not helping you out. Even after she like explained, like, I thought we talked about this. And he just kept going on and on. I was like, oh,
this could have been the end.
Yeah, I was like, this could have been the end of the movie. Okay, right here. Boom. Jane kills John. End scene. You know? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is relatable. Okay.
It's totally relatable because when they're in therapy and he's like, yeah, we've been married for 5 years. She's like, six. And he's like, yeah, 5, 6 years. And, you know, Matt and I have been married for almost 11 years. But the other day I was like, oh, we've been together for 12. He's like, 11. I was like, we've been married for almost 11. Been together for 12. He's like, oh yeah, right. I'm like, how do you, it's on the stab. Stab him with toothpicks everywhere. Like, very relatable.
Oh, so relatable. And then there was this scene where when they both finally realize that they're both assassins working for competing agencies, and she raids the house for any weapons and she finds his stash of guns.
Yeah.
And he is livid.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, and you just see him just like kicking the ground, like, oh
yeah, he's
like
so mad.
Yeah. And I was like, walk away, walk it off, bro. She's got your guns. It's fine. You're gonna be okay. And that's
so
all
funny.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I was like, I feel like this is method acting. I feel like you might have gone through something not as similar, but equal frustration. You want to talk about it? And then speaking of guns, when watching this movie, gun violence never got to me as a teenager. I just accepted that it was a part of the storyline.
Yeah.
You know? And I was just thinking as I was watching this again, as a woman in my mid-30s, I was like, wow, there's a lot of gun violence. And I get it's part of their career as assassins. Mm-hmm. But it just never dawned on me. Why did it never bother me as a kid? And I was like, well, school shootings weren't as prevalent then like they are in today's society, and or any other type of gun violence in general, where we brought, our generation has brought so much, you know, awareness to this. But to see it as an adult rewatching it in one of my favorite movies, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I guess this does hit a nerve. But the marriage stereotypes were just on point, that they just did not miss a beat. And again, even this movie came out in what, 2005, and now it's 2021. And those marriage stereotypes are still super relatable. Like Brad Pitt's character not actively listening. Like when they were in the van and she said a line and then he wasn't paying attention and he repeated that line. And she just rolls her eyes. And I was like, yep, that's still very relatable. I see it.
Yeah. It's like, I put it on the calendar, but you didn't tell me. Yes, I did tell you. Then I put it on the calendar so that you would know. But did you put it in the phone calendar? Yes, it's in the phone calendar. Like it's, those conversations where you're like, we talked about this. Are you sure? Yeah, because you weren't listening to me. You were in La La Land in your brain, thinking about probably like a chimpanzee playing a trombone or something like ridiculous. That's what men think in their heads. They're not listening. They're literally thinking about like a monkey with cymbals, whole monkey band just happening, not listening. But
yeah, just marital sarcasm in general. I was, whether they're talking about, you know, every marital stereotype that they highlighted so well in this film.
Yeah, the part with the light where she's still reading and she's like, I just need a few more minutes. And he's like, rolls over like all like irritated and turns out the light. I used to read I still read until all hours of the night, but Matt bought me a book light. Cause he'll be like, what's going on with the light? That's how he says to me, like, turn off the light.
Yeah.
He's like, what's going on with that light? And I'm like, do you mean you want me to turn it off? Is that what you're saying to me? Cause I'm still reading. So then he bought like me this really cool book light that's has like a different light and it's not as, you know, glaring.
It's like a clip on.
Yeah. It's like a clip on. Cause then I resorted to my phone light, which is still really bright. And I had to kind of like shimmy it on my pillow without it being too bright. So then he just solved the problem and got the book light, but it's just, it's so funny because these things are like
super relatable.
Yeah. I mean, we don't destroy our house when we're having, you know, when we're making up for a big fight, but, like how they did.
Oh, and man. I tell you, during that major fight scene, I was rooting for Jane the whole time. I was just like, you get back at him. You do not take that curtain comment lightly. Okay.
Yeah.
This is your chance. Do it. Like my East Bakersfield, like inner Ratchet self came out so hard when rewatching this. I was like, well, if you damage it now, you know, you get to redecorate your home later.
Absolutely. Okay? This is a reno. They're doing this is a renovation for the relationship and the house. There was a lot of good analogies for like real things.
There were.
Sometimes you have to destroy what was to rebuild something new for it to work, right?
Absolutely. And at 18, when I first watched this movie, I did not have an affinity for real estate at all. And I was just rewatching this and I was like, that's $1 billion home. That is gorgeous.
What are you doing?
What? Why would you do that? I get it's insured. Oh my gosh. Why are you doing this to yourself right now? I was like, do you not realize this is prime real estate that you're destroying? I was like, this could go for millions in Pasadena or Monrovia or anywhere in California right now. And you're just like, oh, la, 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 like shoot it up. Like, let's take out this grandfather clock. Let's, you know, all the things.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah, I was like, let's take this outside. Let's go to like a bounce house. Let's do that. We'll rent a bounce house, do the argument there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, or in the backyard where the neighbors can't actively see as much. But
This is really irresponsible. What's happening?
Right. I love seeing Jane kick butt in this movie. She did not take anything lightly. And she called him out on so many things. Like, why do I get the girl gun? And I was like, yes, hold him accountable. I mean, I'm not pro gun violence at all, but like, you do you, boo. And they address some of the sexism that subtly goes with this movie. I totally forgot Vince Vaughn was in this movie as well. And he plays the best friend.
Yes, and I love Vince Vaughn.
Yes. And his character had some really sexist one-liners. And I was like, oh, this would not fly in today's world at all. Especially when he highlighted like, oh, you got your ass handed to you by a girl. And he was like, she was a professional. She had to be. It wasn't a short Filipino dude, like what they said in the movie, which I was like, also racist. Why are you saying this now? How did they get away with this? Yeah, it was just so funny. Like what was passable back in 05 would not translate whatsoever in today's world. As I was watching this movie, I did have like that fun early 2000s nostalgia. I was like, oh, look at the technology. Oh, look at the clothing, the hairstyles. Yeah. Yeah. All of it. And I was like, the real estate still translates. It's gorgeous. And the suburban neighborhood, the music, the soundtrack was phenomenal too. I was like, yes, this would still translate very well as trendy as far as like could be used in other, you know, future films.
It's still a really sexy movie too.
Oh yes. No, there is
such a good movie.
There is some good sexy time in this.
Yeah.
That's where an 18-year-old Julie was like, yes, you are in it to win it. This is marriage. I'm here for this.
Well, it's nice how they fell in love. Like their chemistry was insatiable. Like that they couldn't resist each other at the beginning. They met in Mexico, they're dancing. It's like raining. This whole thing's so romantic. And then they become strangers because they get into the monotony of everyday life. But then they face their issues. It gets messy, but then they end up in this equal partnership. In this relationship that is now on a solid foundation of dealing with all their stuff. It's like, it's such a good picture of like what can happen if you really work on your marriage. I mean, it's done in a very like Hollywood shoot 'em up, whatever, you know, very unrealistic way, but it's like, you can get through your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all differences are irreconcilable. You can do it with enough work if both people want to work on it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, that's a very grown-up take on it now, right? Was not thinking of it that back then. I was like, ooh, Brad Pitt, yes. You know, that was my only thoughts back then. But I mean, it's such a good movie. I'm probably going to have to rewatch it now.
It's free right now on Tubi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's how I watched it. After all was said and done after this movie, I definitely wanted a sequel. And I realized why that's not feasible now, but I was like, there's so much left to be told. Where do they go on their next assassin? Like, are they a team now? Like, are they fighting against both of their agencies? Like, tell me more. It's just not, I don't think it would be relevant. Plus, you know, actors' personal lives probably would not make that schedule work right now.
But like, what about a retelling? And what if Mr. Smith is Reggae Jean Page? Give it to me. oh, now, right?
That'd be so good.
Do a retelling. I don't know who the lead would be, but that would be good.
Let's put that in, out into the universe.
Yeah, putting it out to the universe. Maybe some Zoe Kravitz up in there. Like, give it. Yeah.
That would be so good.
She's a badass. I could see her being an assassin. But also, after seeing her in Fantastic Beasts, she's so elegant and chic. She can do both, just like Angelina Jolie can do both.
Right. Well, after rewatching Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it definitely got me pumped to see Angelina Jolie back in into doing action films in general. And I'm so pumped to see her in the upcoming Eternals movie. So
yes.
Get it, girl.
Cannot wait for that.
Yes.
And now it is time for the Fangirl Spotlight of the Week.
This week it goes to Kelzilla Hair Studio, a spooktacular salon studio located in Diamond Bar, California, owned by hair witch Kelsey Amore. She specializes in transforming hair into colorful concoctions that will fit to your liking. Kelsey graduated from Paul Mitchell School in Costa Mesa, California, and decided to put up her own studio to create magic for all her clients. Her biggest goal is to allow each and every one of her clients to look and feel as authentically and unapologetically themselves, because she was licensed to create hair magic. Check out her Instagram page.
We are so excited to have launched our Etsy store that has a variety of custom-made digital
downloads.
We are offering 10% off of our Etsy store with the code FANGIRL. The link in our store and all the info will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast to hear all of our latest episodes.
We want to answer your burning questions, so give us a follow on Instagram at the Fangirls Podcast and Twitter at @_fan_girls and like our community page on Facebook to join the conversation. See you next time.
See you next time. We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: 20th Century Fox Studios, Miramax, or Universal Pictures.
Tubi, Trader Joe's, and Later.com,
or HBO Max.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.